Hi, I'm Jade Tiraberry, Senior Director of Strategic Development for Cox Automotive. And today we have Chrissy and Noah here with us for our final of three Bridge the Gap Learning Series events. And we're so glad that you're here to join us today. So Chrissy and Noah, do you want to introduce yourselves?
Yes, thank you, Jade. I'm Chrissy O'Hara, Vice President of Dealer Sales for Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book.
Noah Lee, Director of Product Consulting for Dealer.com.
So Chrissy, I'm going to start with you.
All right.
You all have spent the last few days really speaking to our clients and dealers in the industry about how important it is to bridge the gap. And I loved it when you said in one of those events that it's not just a catchphrase. This is a really important part of our dealers maximizing their revenue and maximizing their strategy. So first, tell us, what do you mean when we say bridging the gap?
Thank you. And I agree, very important. And it's not just a catchphrase. It really is a strategy when enacted. And it's really about making sure that you're connecting your data and your consumer experience, both offline and online, and also really ensuring that you're activating the data so that it's both seamless and personalized. And that's something we're going to talk a lot more about today. The big thing for dealers is when they do bridge that gap, it creates better ROI for them, not only in their inventory, but in their marketing. When you think about customer satisfaction, CSI scores, they go up. And then really, when you think about retention, and I'm sure we'll talk about cross-shopping at some point today, but it drives customer retention as well. So all of those things are super important things that are top of mind for everyone. And then an added benefit to all of it is when dealers do a really good job of connecting that offline to online experience, it really starts to prepare them for the digital e-commerce that's really already knocking on their front doors.
Yeah, that's exactly right. E-commerce is here, and it's one of those necessary three revenue streams as part of the variable ops portion of their business. They have to master traditional retailing. They have to master digital retailing. They have to master distance retailing. And e-commerce now is a piece of all of those. And so that brings me, Chrissy, to our next question, which is about connected experiences. We see that consumers not only want to take lots of the steps of the transaction online, but they also want to bring it offline. And then in a lot of cases, they want to go back online at different stages throughout their purchase journey. And so when we talk about connected experiences, what does that mean to you and what do our clients need to be thinking about?
Well, thank you, Jade. You know, the first thing that really stands out is the ability to keep the deal moving. You mentioned, you know, consumers are going from online to offline and often back. And having that connected experience is really that, the ability to activate the insights and make sure that we're leveraging the information that consumers are providing so that they can move seamlessly through those. And so that's really important to be able to keep that deal moving. Every time there's a gap or a break in that consumer journey, it really opens it up for that customer to be conquested. And so that's really important for us to understand. The other thing that I see that really stands out is actually around the connectivity of the solutions themselves. And that's something, again, we'll talk a little bit more about. But if we don't provide the customer with the information that they want, someone else will. And so it's really important for the customer not only to go through that online and offline seamlessly, but for our dealers to really leverage the data that they have with their solutions and really harvest that data to really show the consumers they know what they want and they can serve them the type of experience that they're looking for.
Noah, you spend a lot of time with our dealer.com clients and they spend a lot of time with different digital retailing tools and e-commerce tools. Give us some of those real world examples of that connectivity between online and offline and why it's so important.
Yeah, absolutely. So the way that I like to think of, you know, continuity, it's really that singular deal record so that everybody's kind of speaking the same language. So, for example, somebody starts their deal online, right, using a digital retailing tool. We've got to make it really easy for a salesperson to pick up that deal and understand the steps that shopper's completed. So when they're following up with that customer, either via email or picking up the phone, they're not asking that shopper for the same information that they submitted. And then when that shopper comes in, it's kind of the same story. We've got to be able to pick up that deal where that shopper left off, right where they left off. So you see all the same information you saw back at home on the website. And it's more than just, okay, shopper experience from home to in store, right? You got to connect your tools. So take that deal information, plug it into your desking solution, into your contracting solution, into your DMS. As Chrissy had said before, right? Each time there's a transition, there's an opportunity for that shopper to be conquested. So if you mess that up, well, that gives your competition an opportunity to steal that customer. So it's really important that all of your solutions not only are gathering data and giving you information on that shopper, but also sharing that information across every step of that buying process.
And no, I think that's such a great point, because when we think about those connected experiences, you can't make them relevant unless you have that buzzword that we all hear every day in our industry right now, and really for anybody who's marketing to consumers. It's all about personalization. It's what do, and we expect it, consumers expect it, but it's really what either builds or breaks down trust, interest, loyalty. We even talk about the definition of loyalty evolving, and it's because these expectations that consumers have through personalized experiences that are now a part of everything we do, whether it's how we buy groceries or how we buy cosmetics or how fast something can be delivered to our doorstep when we want it and we're willing to pay a little bit extra. But you know, when it comes to the personalization piece, Chrissy, the Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book products that your teams work with all day, every day, are powered by the strongest personalization engine in the business. Can you tell us a little bit more about those products and why it matters so much to our dealers?
All right. Well, yes, Jade, you know, we've really touched on it already, but it's really customers want seamless, personalized experiences. You know, you talked a little bit about, you know, the Amazon world that we live in and setting that bar. And that bar is high in terms of customer expectations, the way we buy things. And that is evolving in the automotive industry as well. And the reality is that bar is not going to be pushed back down when it comes to that. So our dealers really need to think about how do they provide that connected, seamless experience? Because the reality is, if they don't do it, someone else will. And as Noah mentioned, every time there's that opportunity for, you know, there to be a gap or a breakdown in communication, it's an opportunity for that customer to be conquested. But hopefully we're encouraging all of you that that won't happen to you, because we're encouraging you to take a deep dive into the solutions and tools that you have and see how you can connect them. You know, when you have the ability to connect those solutions and make sure you offer a personalized experience, you can get the right message in front of the right customer at the right time and lead them into your either digital storefront or showroom storefront, which is what we're all trying to do.
Yeah, I love that one, Chrissy. And I think over the last year or two, we've even taken it one step further than just right consumer, right car, right time, right message. But now it's even like, are we giving them the right call to action? Are we landing them back in the right place? If I'm wanting to schedule a service and you send me an ad and I click on it and it lands me on valuing my trade, that's not what I was trying to do. So Noah, can you give us some examples about not only the transitions between how to bridge those experiences for consumers, but also what dealers need to be doing to bridge those gaps internally within their organization? Because that's a key piece of creating that seamless consumer experience.
You know, when we're talking about personalization, you know, everybody thinks it's just on the consumer side. So, you know, understanding what a shopper is interested in, showing them the right ad, or landing them on your website with the right page with the correct content being shown to them, that's one step of that process. We also need to be able to connect that consumer behavior to that lead. So when your salespeople are following up with that shopper or having communications with that shopper, they understand where that shopper is in the buying process, right? How likely are they to buy? What vehicles have they looked at? And what their budget is, you know, what their payment range is? Because if you're not doing that, you're kind of flying blind. Great, you got a lead for an F-150, but not much else. If you can get that information, not only does it empower your salespeople, it makes their job easier, and it provides a better experience overall for this, for the shopper, right? Because what, you know, experience would you prefer? Coming into a dealership where they don't really know anything about you, or they really have a good understanding of where you are in that buying process and they can tailor the experience to you as an individual.
Yeah, such good points. And I think most dealers, I would say it's a guess, but it's not, because I hear it from them every day. They already think they're doing this. They think their people are connecting the dots. They think their solutions are connected. But in reality, again, there are a lot of gaps to bridge. So Chrissy, what are your thoughts about and just that connectivity and how important it is?
Yes, I will agree with you, Jade. I have this conversation frequently, and most dealers think that they are doing that. But the reality is most of the times the solutions are just not clicking. And therefore, they're missing out on big opportunities to connect with their consumers and really get the right message. You know, we talked about the right message, the right time, the right call to action in front of them. And so that would be, you know, the big ask coming out of this is it's really not as hard as someone might think, is to take time, dig into your advertising and really understand, like start with looking at your solutions and understand, you know, where do they integrate? Where do they overlap? How can you activate that data to be more robust? And then how do you implement that into your marketing? And so, you know, there are not a ton of dealers out there doing it today, but there's a huge opportunity. And that's the silver lining, I guess, amongst everything we're talking about is the industry is evolving, is that there's another huge opportunity to kind of drive advancement and drive customer experience and satisfaction in the store.
Such good points. In part one of your Bridging the Gap series, Chrissy, you talked a lot about third-party data, first-party data, activation of data. So, Noah, I'm going to flip it to you. Tell us a little bit more about what it really means to activate data and why it is so important for dealers to have not only a competitive advantage, but to simply be on an even playing field in today's environment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it goes back to that personalization conversation, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, activating first-party data is such a huge part of that because there's a lot that goes into it. And, you know, we've been hearing about the cookieless future, and that is, you know, changing that landscape of personalization because, you know, anybody could have access to third-party data and provide a personalized experience. Now, it wasn't that great in a lot of ways, but, you know, you're still personalizing. Now, with third-party cookies kind of going away, we're seeing this transition to first-party cookies and first-party data. And, you know, those that have it are going to be the ones that are succeeding at the highest level because not only do they have that information on their shoppers, they're able to personalize the experience for them across every step of that process. So a really good example of that is advertising, right? So you're able to kind of connect to those dots on that consumer, either from their device ID or their IP address from the sites that they're visiting. So just use Auto Trader, Kelly Blue Book, or dealer.com site, and then pop that into your advertising solution and start marketing to them with the ads that they're actually going to respond to, right? So you know what they're interested in, you're going to show them what they're interested in, and then land them on a page showing them vehicles that they're interested in. It's pretty simple, right? And there's a lot of kind of different sources of first party data that's out there. And it's, I think it's really important to kind of talk about that. You know, number one is going to be the websites that your shoppers are visiting, right? So your listing sites, your research sites, your dealership website, your CRM, right? That's a huge wealth of information on your shoppers. So you've got your names, addresses, phone numbers, what vehicles they've owned in the past, maybe what kind of equity they have in those vehicles. Their partner and all that different stuff. So you can use that as well. Plus like your email campaigns, right? You can gather information on that and turn that into, you know, information. I'll dive into that a little bit later. And the thing is if you're not doing that, right, not only you're not going to be understanding your customer, you're going to be sending them, you know, irrelevant ads or maybe showing ads to people who aren't interested in even buying a car. We see that often. And you're also creating more busy work for your staff because, you know, you're providing them with time-based activities inside of the CRM rather than opportunity-based. So they're calling, you know, okay, it's a year since you bought the car. Are you interested in buying another one? No, click. You know, they move on to the next thing. So it's a really multifaceted challenge. And you really have to look at all of your solutions. And are they collecting the right kind of data? So, you know, first-party data. And are they able to connect that data across all aspects of the buying process?
Yeah, such wonderful points. You know, we hear CDP all the time, consumer data platform, consumer data experience platform. Again, big buzzwords in the industry right now. But I think a lot of our dealers, they're aware of the cookieless future coming. They're aware of how important first-party data is. But they don't realize we've already been in that world for a while now. Noah, do you mind talking to us just a little bit about Apple, Safari, some of the things that our clients are already dealing with where that connectivity matters and they already have gaps in being able to connect that consumer data?
Yeah, absolutely. So you aren't familiar with what happened with Apple was a couple of years ago, Apple updated their operating system. I think it was iOS 14. It basically said, if you're an app, you can't track shoppers unless they opt in. So if you've installed an app recently on your iPhone, it'll ask you, hey, would you like to ask this app not to track, right? And that was a seismic shift in the industry, because prior to that, the apps on your phone could literally track everything that you do, right? The location that you're in, your text messages, your emails, what apps you're using, how much time you're spending in them. And all of that went away because, well, we're protecting consumer privacy. It's really important. So now we move to, well, first party data. So data that you own across your different solutions. And the thing is too, is it's not just, okay, do you have the data, right? And, you know, Cox Automotive, we do, because we have all of these properties and we really collect them. But it's, can you turn that data into information, right? Because data at its core is just literally zeros and ones. And if you're like you or me, if you look at it, it doesn't really do anything for you. So you have to have some sort of solution that can turn all of that data into actionable information, right? So like I was saying before, behavioral insights. Mm-hmm. So who's your shopper? What are they interested in? How likely are they to buy? What kind of budget do they have? That kind of stuff. And then you can use that data to personalize the experience for them, all the way from research, when they're looking at vehicles across your listings research or your home site, to advertising, right? Showing them the right ads at the right time on the right device, and landing them on the right page, but also taking that behavioral insight and empowering your teams so they can provide a personalized experience in person. So bridging the gap, right? Mm-hmm. At home to in person and then back at home. Yeah. So there's so much that you can do with this now. It really is kind of mind blowing. I mean, I wish we had 3 or 4 hours to talk about this, but that's just a real snapshot of what we're able to do and how important it is in today's environment.
Yeah, you talked about relevance and ROI. So Chrissy, I'm going to ask you an ROI question after I make a couple of comments. It's not just about the relevant experience, but it's relevant content even. You know, the ability to build content based off of what you know about consumers. And not only is it incredibly important through the consumer's purchase journey, but when we think about first-party data and we think about the purchase lifecycle versus the fixed operations and service and maintenance and recall and warranty lifecycle, it always brings me back to us having discussions around how often a consumer is in the market for maintenance, repair, warranty research. Do I trade my car? Do I sell it? Do I fix it? Especially with rates and all of the economic conditions that we're all dealing with now. But when you think about that connected experience and efficiency for the dealership, we've said for a long time, working bad leads is bad business. Picking up the phone and making that outbound phone call to a consumer when you don't know the last three things that they did online, and you have somebody who, again, you're either building that trust or you're breaking it down. The consumer expects you to know those things. So Chrissy, here's the question. When it comes down to ROI and activating data and making sure that they're maximizing and optimizing every opportunity, what should dealers be thinking about?
That's a great question, Jade. I would say in addition to what we just talked about in terms of taking a hard look at the solutions you have today and how they integrate, how they overlap, and how you can actually get a more robust data set out of them, it then comes down to, you know, making decisions based on the data, right? We've heard a lot of conversation in the market around analytics and how do I measure, you know, do we look at, you know, It's no longer SRPs and VDPs. It's, you know, we're really looking at close rate. And at the end of the day, when we can take these insights and, like Noah mentioned, really deliver the information that a consumer wants, which I don't know if you listened to my first series, but I talked about, you know, the convertible example, right? Like it wasn't a bad ad, but it's definitely not what I'm looking for. But when we can start to do this, that's where, you know, we start to build ROI into our marketing. It's where we start to build our customer database in the right way. And we start to build trust and transparency with that client. And then we have the data to be able to make the decisions so that we can make really good decisions on how we grow our business and continue to invest in growing our customer base.
Yeah, we say it to our clients all the time. You know, database decision making is critical. And we also know, looking in the rearview mirror in this business in the last handful of years is completely irrelevant. The market conditions are changing so fast, the supply and demand imbalance that we see. And now you have all of these new consumer data inputs that are really important, but you can't optimize or maximize your ROI, your return on advertising spend, unless you truly have those stakes in the ground. Where are you today? Where are you trying to go? And so, Noah, we're going to transition just a little bit to AI, buzzword number three. So tell us a little bit about the role that artificial intelligence plays for our dealers, for our consumers, and again, helps build those more relevant experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. I think AI is a really exciting technology. You know, we've all heard about ChatGPT or Midjourney or Google's AI graphics tools. And the thing is about AI in the automotive world, it's way more than just adding, a ChatGPT bot to your website and calling it a day. And there's so much AI that we're utilizing to really be a, virtual assistant to everybody in the sales process. And one way that we like to think about it is, hey, let's eliminate a lot of that busy work for salespeople to empower them to reach out to prospects that are actually interested in buying. So going back to connecting, our first party data insights, so that behavioral insights to, the needs of your salespeople. So how many times have you, used a time-based process for a salesperson, right? They call up a shopper, hey, it's your car's birthday. Would you like to buy another car? That's not personalized. It's not really relevant. And it wastes the salesperson's time and it wastes your customer's time because they had to answer the phone and talk to this person for an extra 10 seconds. So why not take that information, digest it, understand where those shoppers are in the buying funnel, and then proactively reach out to those that are exhibiting behaviors showing that they want to buy a car, right? So for example, right, somebody's checking out F-150s on AutoTrader, they put in a trade on Kelley Blue Book for their old Silverado, and they've checked out some F-150s on the website. Well, with our automation tools, using the power of AI, we can decide, all right, this person's likely to buy an F-150 in a little while. Let's start sending them F-150 ads via email, text message, direct mail. And then let's see what they do with those ads. So if they start interacting with them and maybe they come to your website, let's activate that salesperson. So that task that that salesperson gets from the AI is actually relevant because it's somebody who's interested in what you have to sell. So the customer is much more likely to be, open to that sales pitch because you're pitching them what they want to buy. And your salesperson's got a lot more energy going into it because they know that that's a hot prospect. And that's just another little snapshot of what we're able to do with AI to empower, every aspect of that buying process, right? And that's just, a small part. It goes into advertising, auto bidding strategies, and analyzing the inbound data on, interactions with ads and with our websites and our listing sites. It's really exciting. And, we've been doing this for years. And a lot of people don't know that, right? Everybody just thinks, oh, ChatGPT just appeared and that's AI. It's a lot more than that. And we're already kind of ahead of the curve.
We surely are. And you hit it right there. Time is money. Money is money for our clients. The more we can use automation and AI, even like our relevance algorithm on AutoTrader, it goes back years and it goes back to that right consumer, serving them the right car at the right time for the right relevant experience. So as we wrap up today, Chrissy and Noah, I'm going to ask you both the same question. And what would be your biggest piece of advice to dealers as they think about wrapping up this year strong and looking ahead to next year? Chrissy?
Well, I'll start, and I've said it a couple times already today, but it's really starting to look at your solutions and understand, are they connected? Are you actually able to extract the data out of your tools and leverage that, especially if you're, using AI? There's a lot of ways that you can take the solutions you have today. Many of them are just not actually set up the way they were designed to be, right? So I would say, step one is looking at that and seeing how you can do more with what you have. And then the second thing I would say is to think about the efficiency piece of it. We've talked a couple times about that, about, having your salespeople be more efficient. But I would say that's one thing that all of us are always looking for is more time, right? How can we all be more efficient? And, you know, with the market conditions that we're in, we're all continuing to strive down that path of being efficient. And here's a really great opportunity for a dealer to be not only more efficient, but provide a better customer experience and drive more profitable deals. So it's a win-win. So I highly encourage you to take a look at your advertising and your solutions and really find ways to connect those dots.
Great points, Chrissy. So Noah, big piece of advice for these dealers.
Well, how do I follow up with that? So I think it goes back to Jade. You had a really good point there about the bar for personalization is not going to drop, right? If anything, it's going to increase. And so you really have to look at, am I getting actual information on my shoppers and how can I connect that information across every aspect of the buying process? You got to think about what tools are you using and are they able to share that data to provide a personalized experience from start to finish, not only advertising websites, but in-store sales process and back-at-home sales process. And that's kind of a tall order to think about. So you really have to find a partner that can tie it all together and kind of already has those building blocks set up for you and is willing to work with you to empower your salespeople to train you on that, right? That's really how I'm going to end this overall.
That was incredible advice. So thank you all for being with us today. Thank you, Noah. Thank you, Chrissy, so much. Great information. And so dealers, this all starts with knowing you have gaps. You have to identify them first before you can bridge them. So we appreciate you joining us for our final Bridge of the Gap series. I'm Jade Tiraberry. Have a great day.